about this thing called temptation. And I promised you then that this week we would go a bit further and talk about what it looks like, what it means for us as individuals when we are confronted in whatever week stands in front of us with temptation. Last week we said two things and two things alone. We said that we all need to understand that temptation will come. And we moved from saying temptation will come to understanding that temptation can be overcome. In fact, we settled on the fact that temptation must be overcome. Before we jump into this week, I want to stay there for a moment and reiterate the point that temptation can be overcome and that temptation must be overcome. And you'll see it a bit in the text that we're going to deal with this morning, but I just want to say it my way here. I think that we need to be very clear in understanding that temptation can be seen or should be seen by us as that thing that literally is standing between us and the fulfillment of what God has sent us to do. You've heard me say for some months now, if not for longer than that, that everybody in here, without a doubt in my mind, God put something in you that he has the full expectation that he is going to get out. If you believe it, say amen.
Amen.
If you don't, say amen. There's something in everybody that God intends to get out. And whether or not we get there is in a great way dependent upon how we decide to live our lives. But the one thing that I know about each and every one of us is that as we go on whatever path God has set us on to do the stuff he set us to do, there's going to be something between us and that. And that oftentimes is temptation. This week, I simply want to talk about how we fight temptation. And I want to look at what I am going to, for us this morning, use as a definition. Didn't give you one last week, but I'm going to give you one this morning for what does temptation look like, or what can we say temptation is? If we want to come up with that one definition of that thing that everybody in here who was here last week, and I ask, is there anybody here who has ever experienced temptation? I believe everyone here raised their hand last week. I want to define temptation this way. Temptation is the pressure to yield to influence that can lead people away from God and into sin. That should say away from God and into sin. Temptation is the pressure to yield to influences that can lead us away from God. Remember, I just said temptation is that thing that can stand between us and where God is sending us, between us and the thing that God wants us to be, wants us to do, wants us to go, where we are to become. That thing that is between us and that oftentimes is temptation. And they are the pressures to yield to the stuff, the people, the places, the mind trash that we sometimes have that can lead us away from God and into sin. I said to somebody after church last week as we talked about the sermon just a bit more that sometimes quitting can seem like the best thing to do. But what we have to understand is that is if God has told me that I am supposed to be about this purpose, and I recognize that the path I am on is exactly where I'm supposed to be to do the things that God has called me to do, if I quit, that is akin to sin. Why? Because I won't ultimately find myself doing the very thing that I have been sent here and allowed by all the gifts and talents that God has placed in me to do. So if I allow anything to get between me and the will of God concerning me, it is akin to sin. So I want to open with a statement that's going to drive the rest of what we say today. Because I talked last week a lot about temptation, and I was very transparent in talking about my own, this season that I find myself coming out of. But was quite difficult for the time. Talked about getting to a point where it was like, Lord, is this it? What's going on? Is the road about to turn? I want you to know that the temptations that we all face will look different. What comes for, this is going, I'm gonna take a poll right now. This is gonna be a crazy poll, right? I want you to be loud in your answer. Say amen.
Amen.
All right. I want everybody right now to shout out that thing that whenever you think about it, that is like, it could be your favorite meal, right? The thing that whenever you think about it, you're like, Lord, I'm telling you, I would stop my car on the side of the road if I saw somebody giving away X. It could be your favorite TV show, that thing that don't nobody else know, but everybody in your family knows that if they delete that show, we're going to have a problem. Right? It could be your favorite. I want you to shout out that thing. And here's why I'm doing that. I want you to shout out the thing that you know could actually make you move away from something to do that. On the count of three, I just want you to, everybody got it in your mind. If you got it in your mind, raise your hand. If you need another moment, you're just lying right now. Let's just tell the truth. Right? On the count of three, I want you to shout it. One, two, three, go. Amen. I don't know what none of y'all said. That's why we shouted. Everybody shouted at the same time. Everybody still gets to be anonymous. Don't nobody know what it is you said because they couldn't hear you. Amen. But here's the point that I'm making. For all of us, it's going to be something different. That thing that might influence me away from God and into sin is going to be very different than the thing that may influence you away from God and into sin. Why? Because we are all different. And the things that can be used to tempt me may not be the exact same things that can be used to tempt you. But last week, you've got to remember that what we said is that all temptation is going to be something that is common to somebody else. You ain't the only one. And all of us are going to experience temptation of one sort or another. The temptation we all face will look different. It's going to be unique to who I am, to who you are, to who we are individually. What tempts you may not tempt me, but we'll all be tempted. And we've got to remember that temptation can be, in fact, temptation must be, overcome. I want you to go with me to Matthew's Gospel, chapter number 4. I'm going to begin reading in verse number 1. I'm going to read this morning about a man named Jesus. Thank you for prayers. I feel good. Amen. Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. Let me stop for a moment before I read anything else so you understand what's going on. Jesus has just been baptized. Jesus is at the very beginning of his ministry. Jesus, the second person in the Godhead, Jesus, the Son of God, Jesus, the Son of Man, Jesus, Mary's baby, Jesus, that one. Jesus now finds himself having departed heaven and come to earth. Jesus finds himself having taken on this robe of flesh that we all walk in. Jesus has set down willingly some of his divine attributes that he may walk among us. Jesus now finds himself after growing up as a boy, like every other boy, Jesus finds himself now at the beginning of the ministry. Understand what it is I'm saying. Jesus finds himself on the cusp of doing the very thing that God sent him here to do. Jesus is about to walk directly into the purpose for him coming to earth from heaven anyway. Here he is, had to be born 12 years old, goes into the temple and confounds even the scholars with his knowledge. That Jesus now finds himself here at 30 years old, having been baptized by his cousin, and now he is on the cusp of doing everything he knows he's sent to do. And between him and the beginning of ministry, and this ain't the only one that comes, but there's this temptation. And it says, Jesus being led into the wilderness by the Spirit is tempted by the devil. This is not one of the four, but I think it's something worthy of taking another moment to highlight. There's something in everybody in here that God wants to get out, that the devil is doggedly determined ain't gonna come out. And if he can do anything, that thing we shouted out, if he can do anything, make sure that you get tired enough that you want to quit. If he can do anything, if he can beat you and buffet you and make you believe that you are no longer worthy to do what it is, God, if he can do anything, he will. It says Jesus, right here at the beginning, right at the beginning, y'all. Rhetorical question. I don't expect an answer, but I expect you to ponder it. How many of us have quit right at the beginning? You get the idea. You get the unction. You get the green light from God. And all of a sudden, the first place you go, because you know when you hear from God, you expect that you're about to run into your happy place. You know when you hear from God that everything in front of you is going to be roses and birds singing, and the first place you go is a wilderness. How many of us, as soon as he tells the children of Israel, I'm coming to you, I'm going to deliver you from 400 plus years of bondage in Egypt and take you to this land that I promised to Abraham and all his descendants, and the first place we go is the desert? How many of us quit before we even begin because of temptation? Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And after fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. And the tempter came and said to him, if you are the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread. But he answered, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. Then the devil took him to the holy city and set him on the pinnacle of the temple and said to him, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and on their hands they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against the stone. Jesus said to him, again it is written, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test. Again, the devil took him up to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said to him, listen, all these I will give to you if you will fall down and worship me. Then Jesus said to him, begone, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve. Then the devil left him, and behold, angels came and were ministering to him. In the Gospel of Luke, when the same story is told, it says, then the devil left him until a more opportune time. Let me make it plain. Then the devil said, this is not a one and done. Then the devil looked at him and said, I'll be back. Then the devil said, I know that there's going to be another opportunity. Maybe it'll be when you are in a garden on the cusp of having to give your life as ransom for the sins of the world. Maybe then I'll come back. Maybe it'll be when you are transfigured on a mount. Maybe you'll see then that the glory is really what you want. Maybe it'll be when you are on a cross and you have at your disposal legion of angels to come and rescue you. But there will be another time. And I'm going to leave you until then. The time that the devil comes the first time, the time that our flesh rises and tempts us the first time, won't be the last time. Temptation will come. But think about where he is. Think about where he is, and by extension, where we can find ourselves from time to time in our lives. That the only thing between me and getting to where I am, the only thing between me and the glory that God has, the only thing between me and being able to do what God has sent, the only thing between me and making God happy in the decision I have made is this temptation. So, how do we handle it? First thing, and you see this if you know anything about Jesus. The first thing that Jesus understood about the temptation that was in his face, the first thing that we need to understand that helps us overcome temptation when it comes, is a clear sense of purpose. That we have a purpose that I just cannot deny. Anybody in here understand what that looks like? Listen, I know that this is going to be hard. I understand, devil, that it is your job. I understand that you are the tempter. I understand that you may even have an inkling of what I am sent here to do. I understand that it may be making you. I understand that you might be scared. I understand that you might have to throw everything at me to try to get me not to do this. But you need to understand that I have the same sense of purpose. That no matter what you throw my way, I'm going to have to do this. Imagine the world if right there, after being baptized, after the descendants of the Holy Spirit upon him, after the voice of his Father says, "This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased," after the Spirit then saying, "Get up and let's get to work," but the first thing you're going to come against is a struggle of temptation. Imagine the world if Jesus had given in. If he said, "Listen, for real though, it's hard. D-I-S apostrophe, this hard." Jesus was a brother. From the hood in Bethlehem. He was not born in the hospital. I'm just saying. Right? This hard. Imagine how different the world would be. Now, I say that knowing that you already know the end, that Jesus didn't give up. But I say it for this reason so that I can then make this statement. Imagine the world if you quit. And the thing that God put on the inside of you, oh, the acorn makes a comeback. Think of the world without what's in you. Because you decided this too hard. D-I-S apostrophe T-E-W-H-A-R-D. Imagine. We have to have a clear, overwhelming sense that the thing that I am supposed to do has to get done by me. And no matter how many times I am knocked down by the ebb and flow of life, I have to get back up because nobody can do it quite like I can. I'm not the only one who can do it. There may be others who can even do it better. But ain't nobody gonna be born again. Neither has there been anybody else born already who's going to do it like I'm going to do it. And so as many times as I have to, I will dust myself off, get back up, and get back into what God has called me to do, because my purpose overwhelms any temptation. So wait a minute. Anybody here ever had the thought that comes at the point of temptation, Lord, if I give in to this, everything that you have set me to do at this to this point and I have done gets erased and rolled back, and I'm now back at zero. And so because you understand where you are going and how you're supposed to get there, you understand who you are and what is at stake, that God put you here for this and this alone, you say, I cannot give in here. Oh, Lord, I want to. Because temptation is real. Oh, I wish I could. If I was anybody else, I surely would. Lord, that hamburger smells so good. But I can't. Because it's more important that I do what I'm about than give in to this momentary thing that would satisfy me. You used to hear people talk about not making permanent decisions for temporary problems. Don't do something that's going to last a lifetime to satisfy some fickle part of your nature in the moment. Point one, got to have a clear, overwhelming sense of purpose. Jesus had that. Jesus understood what he was here to do. And there was going to be nothing that was going to stand between him and that. What's the next thing? Jesus understood the difference between truth and lies. Who is the devil? He's a liar and the father of lies. He is the Satan, the adversary. His role, literally, is to make you believe stuff that's not true about you, about the God who created you, and about the world he sent you to inhabit. How many folk believe he does a pretty good job at what he's supposed to do? Raise your hand. Right? If I could borrow from a contemporary figure in our culture, the devil is good at fake news. Amen. He tells us stuff, watch this, and most of us from time to time fall for it. It's just part of who, I'm coming to recognize that we live in a day and time where cynicism is on the rise. It's actually easier for people to believe the negative about a situation or a person than it is to give the grace to believe the positive. Come on, y'all. We love what we love for that reason. Now, I'm going to ask another question. I don't want this one to be rhetorical, but some of y'all are going to be convicted in the moment and ain't going to raise your hand. I understand. How many folk love reality TV? Raise your hand. There's grace at the altar, y'all. And can I tell you, ain't nothing good about none of it. Let's just tell the truth. Tell the truth. But you can't help. I liken it to when Mike Tyson was in his prime. Folk would pay back then it was like $49. I paid one time, and I think I made the mistake of making it the Marvis Frazier fight. $49.99, Comcast. To watch this fight that was 91 seconds. I don't care how long the undercard was. Mike Tyson, my age, and I'm still mad at him. Right? But we would all watch a Mike Tyson fight knowing that 9 out of 10 of his opponents were not going to last to the second round, but we just had to see it. And it's the same reason we watch reality. I know y'all ratchet. I know somebody finna throw a drink, talk about somebody's mama. Somebody gonna do something that's gonna make all people look bad. But I just wanna see it though. Watch. Same reason most of us are lurkers on social media. Because we just wanna see what's going on in the other folks' life. I ain't gonna like it. I ain't gonna comment on it. But I'm sure gonna talk about it though. That's where our culture has taken us to, and the devil depends upon it. But what we see in Jesus when we look at the text is Jesus understood the difference between the truth and a lie. So when the devil comes at Jesus and tries to tell him things about himself that he knows are untrue, or tries to tell him things about his mission, or tries to tell him things about his father, Jesus is able to say, devil, I need you to get behind me. I need you to depart. I need you to just be quiet, for it is written. How does that help me? I need to know as clearly and as definitively as my Christ knew who God said I am. I used to have somebody in my life who said something that is still profound every time I think of it. He said, let God be your defender. When somebody comes at you and starts saying stuff, we got too many people who feel the need that I got to correct folk when they say something about me. Well, I'm just going to look, because ain't nobody, and I'm just going to, no, reality TV. I know who I am. I know what God said about me. And no matter how many times that's misunderstood by somebody else, I am clear on who God said I am. And I can tell you, whether you can read it in a book or not, it's written in the Lamb's Book of Life. This is written. And so we have to be able to confront the lie by the truth that we know is on the inside of us. And I ain't got to say nothing, because at the last of all last readings, folk will understand what God said. But most of us are, we're human. I am not exempt. What I just said is how I can live my life 80% to 85% of the time. But there's that 15% where all of a sudden the adversary sidles up next to you and he says, did God say? And you're like, well, God did say, and maybe there is a little, I'm not sure. And it's that space where we're not sure about what the truth is about God, about what the truth is about our purpose collectively and individually, what the truth is about the world we live in, what the truth is about the path set before us. Too often we as Christians get discouraged and tempted to quit because we believe the lie that we've been told in church, that every day is gonna be Sunday. And every interaction with a fallen world is going to be church. We have fallen for the lie that everybody in church is saved. Somebody say amen. Amen. Everybody in church ain't saved. Hallelujah. We need somebody that we can bring to, what do we have to go? And no, every now and again, somebody who ain't saved gonna come to church and they gonna stay. So why do we believe the lie? Jesus time and again. It is written, man shall not live by bread. It is written, he will command his angels. It is written, on their hands. It is written, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test. It is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve. At each of those instances, the devil came at Jesus with something else to try to tempt him to stray from where God was leading him to be. But he understood the truth. Question, do you? Point three, Jesus understood the power of community. And in our situation, a community that pulls the best from you. We don't see it here, but we understand that Jesus walked with some folk intimately. Jesus was not a lone ranger. Jesus spent his time with 12, and you're like, well, yeah, but Jesus was the pastor. Yeah, Jesus was their rabbi, but we miss how those relationships happened in that day and time. Jesus literally lived with them. They did stuff together. They got to watch him do what he did. And every now and again, and we see it in the text, he gave them an opportunity to replace him in doing what they had watched him do. And in doing that, it was the kind of relationship that made sure that not only were they growing, but it kept Jesus back at point number one. I've got a clear sense of purpose, and it is overwhelming. I got some folk with me. Hear me, not behind me. But I've got some folk with me that because they are dependent upon what they see through me and what they perceive is the purpose that I am here for, I am in that sense also pulled not to give in to temptation. One of the devil's greatest tools to get us to give in to temptation when it comes our way is isolation. How many folk like the National Geographic Channel? Love it. I love it. I don't know why, but I love it. I love everything from Axemen on. I love it. I told my wife yesterday, I said, if I was somebody else, I could probably be a mountain man. Have me a horse and a hoe, H-O-E. Because I'm... Yes, thank you. Thank you, Pastor. That's a tool. Amen. Because I'm plant-based, so I can't have a gun because I ain't going to kill a bear and eat it. So I got a hoe so I can plant potatoes and eat them. But I could do that, right? I could be out there by myself. But that's not a good place for us when it comes to temptation. Because when the devil, so the National Geographic Channel, you watch those lionesses hunt, let me say it the right way, the lionesses hunt and they eat first, I'm just saying. When you watch them and how they peel off one of those antelope or one of those water buffalo, they don't go after the whole. When you watch the pack of wolves hunt, they don't go after the whole, they isolate one. They find that one that's on the edge that can't run just as fast as the rest of them. That's why I always tell folk, I ain't got to be the fastest. I just got to be faster than you. That's all. Right? Because what they do is they peel one off by isolation, and now I got you. They find that one, and it's always one. It always cracks me up. The whole herd is over here drinking at the water pond, and everybody, why? Because I got your back. I can be like, oh, there's an alligator. Watch out. And then there's this one that's like, it's too crowded right there. I don't want to wait my turn. I'm going to go over here where the water is clear. It's one in every crowd. I'm smarter than everybody else. And ain't nobody watching his or her back. And the next thing you know, all you see is the snout of the alligator. And the next thing you know, gotcha. We need community. Community is the thing that makes sure that I am not by myself. Hear me, in my lowest moments, when I am so tired from pulling a double, when I'm so tired from whatever is going on in my life that I can't see straight, when I'm so tired that my eyes are beginning to close all by themselves, I need somebody that every now and again will tap me on the shoulder and say, hey, look out. Or listen, bro, I see you straying a little bit. Are you tired? What can I do? How can I help you bear a bit of this burden right now? Because you are not performing the way I knew you to be at one point. Is there something going on? Yeah. Yeah. Community. Jesus understood, which is why the example he gave us was not him going and doing everything by himself, but him living amongst a group of people who would help him do what they were all called to do collectively as they did what they could do individually. And the last thing, and I'm out your face, he understood the power of self-awareness. This goes back to the beginning when I told you to shout out that thing that belonged to you. Back to the beginning when I said to you that what's going to tempt you may not tempt me, but we're all going to be tempted. Let's be honest with ourselves. Everybody knows their trigger, right? You know the stuff that will make you give way to the influences that will draw you away from God and into sin. If you don't take a half a day and think about the times when you've fallen away from the path that God sets you on. And I guarantee you that you will be able to come up with some lowest common denominators, some things that are common to every situation. Wow, that was a time of high stress in my life. And stress is always that thing that gets my mind to where I am open to temptation. Wow, that was a time when I was running past where the get gas now light came on in my life. And it's always when I'm in that moment where I find myself open to temptation. Or I had just had a very difficult season in one of my primary relationships, and it's always when I'm in a season like that that I find myself at a point where I am open to temptation. Why is it important for us to be self-aware and know what our triggers, where the buttons are in our lives? Because when we then get to see those things, we don't blow through the yellow light. That we begin to build in our lives, hear me, systems that allow us to recognize when we are getting to dangerous places and dangerous levels. And if we are smart, we get to call out to the Lord first for help and then make sure we're in a community that pulls the best out of us. But isn't it just the opposite, though? Let's just tell the truth and shame the devil. Isn't it just like crazy human folk who call themselves believers in Jesus Christ, that when we get to these places in our lives, that rather than drawing closer, we pull back even more? Well, I'm feeling the way I got so much going on in my life that I can't come to church right now. When I get through this season of this rough spot, I'll be back. Watch, because church is my happy place. No. Isn't it just like us that when we need it the most, we isolate ourselves from it? When we need it the most, we tell everybody, I'll be back, ain't nothing going on, I'm all right, just a little busy right now. And the devil's like, yes, I got you. I got you. We've got to become more aware of where those spaces are in our lives and be willing to share with those that we trust. Listen, if you recognize, this is who I am, and I'm just sharing this stuff with you because I trust you, and I want to give you a space in my life to help me be who God has called me to be. So I'm going to tell you some stuff, and because we have a relationship and I trust you, I trust that you will hold these things where they need to be. But if you recognize these things going on, I need you to know that that is in my life a sign of me needing to take a break. That's a sign of me needing to get away because I've run too hard. That's a sign that something may be going on in the margins of my life that I don't want to share with anyone. And I'm giving you permission in that moment to just come to me and say, I'm noticing some stuff. Remember when we had that conversation? And you said, if I saw some things like this, that I had the ability to come to you. Well, I'm coming to you now. Is everything all right? Because God put some stuff in you that he wants to get out. And I think right now, if somebody doesn't come alongside you and check in, you may be open to temptation. How many folk have a relationship in their life like that? Be honest. How many want one in their life like that? Be honest. How many are listening to me right now? Be honest. Some of y'all ain't raised your hand for nothing. I'm like, is there another option? Maybe this is it. Y'all just not listening. I'm done this morning, but temptation isn't. There's going to be a season, and this may not be the season for you, when the devil's going to come back, when something is going to stir something in you that's going to give rise to an influence to draw you away from God. And I hope that in that moment, you will know that God has a purpose for you that compels you to resist the devil and watch him run. I pray that in that season and in that moment, you will recall everything that God has said you are to be, do, and become. That you will remember who he is and who the one who's saying it to you is as well. I hope in that moment that you develop relationships in some community of faith, where you can go to someone or someone already has permission to come to you and ask, are you okay? I pray above all that you're aware enough of how God created you, that you know where those moments are in your life, and you don't blow through the yellow lights. Let's pray. Fearfully and wonderfully made, we all